Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle. It's time for Ask Greg. Remember, just send your questions for Greg through the app. That's the best way to do it. So we will get started with Ask Greg, which is brought to you by DraftKings. We've heard all the rumors, but Fight Island's finally here. This weekend's UFC 251 is set to be the best yet. Big name stepping into the octagon all night. This is an event you don't want to miss, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook this week only. DraftKings is offering all new users a special odds boost on this weekend's headline fight. You bet $20 to win $100, and you can do that with either fighter. DraftKings Sportsbook is U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. What you need to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, use KSN when you sign up, and a limited time, new users can get a no-brainer odds boost on the headline fight this Saturday. Bet $20 and win $100. That's right. No matter if you pick Usman or Masvidal, your odds will be boosted $20 to win $100. So head to DraftKings Sportsbook now. Sign up with code KSN. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Greg, it's quarter number three, and it means it's time to ask Greg, are you ready with all the answers?
I am ready to go, Jim. Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Mike from Harrisburg, who says, Greg, only season ticket holders are going to be permitted in Beaver Stadium if fans are allowed at all. What do you think the secondary ticket market is going to be like?
Yeah, so let's clarify that for starters. So Sandy Barber did not say that they were going to ban anyone who's not a season ticket holder from coming. What she said was is that based on the number of season ticket holders they have combined with what they're, and I'm paraphrasing here too, because she didn't say it exactly like this, but what she was saying was when you have going to have capacity limits, and I think we can all agree and understand and acknowledge it, some kind of capacity limit will be in place for Beaver Stadium. There's not going to be 107,000 or 110,000 people in Beaver Stadium, but let's say they can have 35 or 40,000. Well, the season ticket, the season tickets that are promised to people who have paid for them already alone basically is covered by that number. So there's probably not going to be additional single game ticket sales because of the fact that, again, all those tickets that have been promised to season ticket holders will cover that number, and they obviously would get first priority. But that brings up a very good point, though, Jim. The secondary ticket market will be an option for season ticket holders or anyone that comes into a ticket, and I think it could be pretty crazy. I just don't know how many people are eager to get back into a stadium or a place like that and sit amongst, you know, another 30 or 40,000 people. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there. I don't know if I'd be one of them, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot out there. So the secondary ticket market should be pretty crazy, I would think, for the big games. For the lesser games, it'll be, I think, more interesting to see there. Part of me wonders if a game like a Kent State, for example, would have more supply than demand, whereas, you know, Ohio State, I think, would always, it always does and always will have more demand than supply, and the prices reflect accordingly. So we'll see. You know, we still don't know, Jim, not to get too far off the point of the question here, but we don't even know if non-conference games are going to exist, or will those just all go by the wayside and there be a conference season only? But here's what I don't understand about a lot of people are saying, well, let's just have a conference season and we'll start it in late September. And I don't understand the purpose of that. Why wouldn't you start it as soon as possible? I mean, if you're sending students home after Thanksgiving and finishing the fall semester online as a realization that there's probably going to be a second wave of the coronavirus in the wintertime or at least around the holidays, and you think that that's going to cause, you know, having students on campus could cause that a second wave to worsen. Once you want to play sooner and get the games over sooner, if you think that's going to happen, I just can't quite wrap my head around that. And obviously, you know how to contact us folks if you have a explanation for that, or Jim, you might have one, but I do not. I think that even if you go to the conference schedule, you'd want to play those games as soon as you can in early September and get as many in as possible before anything new or happens or changes or difference, or we get more positive cases and things like that. And that way you can, you know, again, play as many games as possible. So I guess just to wrap things up nice and tidily here, if they do end up doing that, I would think that secondary ticket market would be even more crazy. Yeah, because you won't have those non-conference games that might not be enticing to people.
Well, I'll give you a couple of my theories with that, Greg. I think part of it is the feeling that a lot of times the out-of-conference games are the ones that you have to fly to, and traveling is part of the issue. If you're, you know, San Diego State, do you want to fly across the country to play Penn State? And a lot of people have the impression by staying in conference, it's more regional. The problem now is with these expanded conferences that went on, you still have a lot of traveling. I saw one article this week where the theory was, we're not even going to see much in terms of conference. You're going to see teams playing very regional games. Something like, okay, Penn State won't be flying to Wisconsin or to Michigan. They're more likely to stay close to home, meaning playing teams like Pitt and Temple and Maryland and Rutgers. And again, all of this is just projecting, because just think where we were in the last, we're 2 months away from football. Think about how things have changed in the last 2 months. We went from no way they're going to play in the fall, they're playing in the spring, to the point of there will be no season. Then it's like it seemed obvious there'll be a season. Now there's the new outbreak, so now we're concerned about the season again. And my understanding is this week the Ivy League is looking to make their decision, and they seem to be leaning towards playing in the spring. So there's still a lot to go on. And the same thing with the, we are going off track, but the idea with the season tickets, I don't think you can make any decisions on things or how things are going to be until the last minute. Get as much information as you can, and then see what happens. All right, let's. We're getting into Ask Ross territory here with the limited number of questions. This always happens with Ross. So let me get to another question. Let's go with Dominic from Cranberry Township, who says, Greg, it seems as though Penn State is loading up on defensive backs. Do you feel that to be the case? And if so, why do you believe they're doing this?
Well, you know, I think that if you look at Penn State's defense over the last couple of years, obviously it's been very good in a number of statistical categories. And I don't want to sit here and trash the secondary, because it's had some good moments, but it's also been a bit of a weak link, especially when it comes to the long passes and the explosive plays that can change the game at the drop of a hat. So I do think that there's some focus on trying to improve the speed back there and trying to improve the overall talent of that group back there. You know, again, Jaden Reed, Zakee Wheatley, Kalen King, and Jeffrey Davis Jr. are the defensive backs in here. And, you know, four always did feel about right for that position group, the secondary in this class. I think you get one more potentially in Derek Davis Jr., or maybe there's a best available player out there, Jim. But yeah, I think this is about right for this group, especially you'll have some guys leave after this year, Tariq Castro Fields, of course, being one of them. And I think you have some guys who are going to be sophomores now, Jim, who with two good years could absolutely be first round, leave early, guys who have the potential to leave early. You know, when you think about Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson, the contributions they've already made, they're on track to be guys who might be able to leave sooner rather than later. So I think when you put all of that together, and the fact that, they had some pretty good talent out there that they wanted to get, and they did get it, it makes sense to take maybe a few more at that position compared to some others in this cycle.
Sometimes I think also the answer is, where is the talent and where is the talent available? I think Dominic's looking at the fact that they have one defensive lineman committed. They already have four DBs. You mentioned Derek Davis, and I forget the name, from Lackawanna Junior College. There's another player that's seems to be leaning towards Penn State. So they may end up even with six defensive backs. But if that's where the talent is, I'm not sure that's the worst thing in the world. All right, our next question comes from Bryce in Kirkland, Washington. Greg, what are you hearing regarding the status of official visits and commitment dates? if the NCAA cancels official visits through, say, spring of 2021, does that add momentum to the case for passing the one-time transfer rule, or perhaps a temporary one-time transfer rule specific to the 2021 class, since they're the ones most impacted by the restriction on visits?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's going to be an interesting few months for recruits and for a few years for everyone. But yeah, it's a challenging question to answer. You know, I think that rule will probably get passed, and I wish I had done more legwork to read up on some of the reasons why they decided to table that vote, which I'm pretty sure it was something Sandy Barber and or James Franklin, maybe both of them, had talked about being in favor of a tabling of that vote so they could do some more work. You know, one thing with rule changes that James Franklin speaks of often is that sometimes there are unintended or unforeseen consequences of these things that aren't thought of until it's far too late. I know that maybe that was a reason that they thought some more work needed to go into this potential idea. But the one-time transfer thing is probably going to get done. Maybe they'll find a way to give the schools a little bit of control and things like that. But all told, I think it will get done. It'll impact not just the class of 2021, but groups beyond that class, of course. And man, I'll tell you what, if they cancel official visits through the rest of this cycle, and it's very possible, I see the point, I see the valid point of the question. I mean, it is going to be very difficult to not imagine a situation where a lot of kids get to a campus and think, no, this was not what it was like over Zoom, or the virtual visit and the reality of the situation are very different things. And I do wonder how many kids will start taking unofficial visits. I know they're running out of time before school starts back up again, but one thing I haven't heard about, and there could be a reason for that, but kids just taking a visit to campus themselves and at least walking around and getting a feel for things. Now, the coaches couldn't have anything to do with it. They couldn't talk to them in person while there. They could not see them. They could not take them to dinner. They could not open Beaver Stadium for them, et cetera, but at least it would give the family, if they hadn't had the chance before, an opportunity to at least see some of campus. So I wonder if that would be a solution, but it'll be tough during the school year to get out and make those trips. So yeah, there's just so much to figure out at this point. I mean, I guess that's a capacity question too, Jim. Will they save some of the capacity of Beaver Stadium for recruits? And will the NCAA even allow that to happen, even if Penn State would be willing to save some of its capacity, not for paying ticket holders, but for recruits? And, you know, that's just one of the many, 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 many things they have to figure out between now and then. So I think it's a valid question. I think it'll get done. And I don't think it'll apply just to the class of 2021, but to everyone moving forward.
Real quick, in that unofficial visit, the coaches can't interact, but can other players interact with the recruit?
I think it'd be dicey, Jim. I think you could probably do it, but you would want to be not brash about it, if that makes sense.
I get you. All right, that's it for quarter number three. We're going to announce our winner at the start of quarter number four.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
UFC 251 is set to be the best yet. Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. For a limited time, new users can get a no-brainer odds boost on the headline fight. Bet $20 and win $100. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook now and sign up with code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.